Hello, this is Chris Parker, and on this episode of the Business Simplicity Podcast, I had a fun conversation. We went everywhere with Ryan Wells, the marketing director of Destiny Engage, and we talked about lean manufacturing, which is maybe unusual for a marketeer with Ryan, but he's very passionate about it. And we connected that to marketing in various ways, also in making, you know, personalized experiences, and got really practical at the end on how a marketing team or a marketing leader can bring that in and really focusing on, you know, fixing small things every day based on the principle of fixing what bugs you and doing that in a structural way. But hey, Ryan, why do you think this would be a really valuable conversation for people to listen to?
I would listen to this podcast because you'll learn how to make your customers happier, your staff more excited about delivering value for their customers, and you'll get your company, give your company an unfair advantage.
The Business Simplicity Podcast, where we learn about strategies and tactics to succeed through simplicity, with your host, Chris Parker.
And welcome back to the Business Simplicity Podcast. This is Chris Parker, and I'm having a conversation with Ryan Wells. And Ryan is the marketing director of Destiny Engage. And Destiny Engage is a omni-channel customer experience software for small businesses, powered by artificial intelligence. And of course, Destiny is an organization that I've been working with up until recently. And I was chatting with Ryan in Egypt, of all places, last week. And he mentioned some things about lean manufacturing, and it was really inspirational. So I wanted to pull him in, and he was kind enough to jump in. So maybe Ryan will talk a little bit about Egypt and what we did there and talk about lean manufacturing. And as you are a marketing professional in the SaaS software as a service space, I believe we'll try to connect those things and connect those dots as well. So, Ryan, maybe share with us in your own words, what is it that you actually do?
Well, Chris, thank you. And it's a real pleasure to be with you today and to share some insights that hopefully will find interesting for the audience today. So as you said, I'm the marketing director for Destiny Engage, and it's a SaaS software product. And I've been working for the last 20, 25 years in the area of marketing and communications. And I'm really delighted to have a talk to you today, and we can explore some of those great ideas that we were discussing over a drink in Egypt last week. And it's going to be, I think, a fun half hour of learning and discovery for us both.
And before we jump into the meat of it, you also have done marketing work for the Olympics, if I'm remembering right, and then went into the software space. So I'm curious. Why marketing? What about marketing that makes Ryan Wells so passionate and excited?
Well, you know, actually, it goes back even further than that. I started with a real interest and passion in politics, and if you think about an election and politics, it's about the being able to convince and motivate a huge body of people to take an action. And actually, that translates really beautifully into the marketing, because as marketers, we're looking to engage an audience and provoke an action on that, whether it by buying a product, championing a brand, or purchasing a service. So that's where the genesis of that began. And my other real passion is in sport. So combining the two, naturally, I had a great opportunity at the turn of the century to work in Australia on the Sydney Olympics, and then through Salt Lake, and then through to Athens. And that was a really exciting time, because that was the time that technology was starting to bubble up, and we had, you know, the dot-com boom of the 2000s, and looking to how we took, you know, legacy technologies and people who had been very conservative into the new digital era, and work on ways that we could connect for the first time in a real meaningful way, people in conversations with through the power of sport to drive engagement and participation and healthy lifestyles. So it was a really fantastic time, not just to be able to pioneer new technologies. We launched the biggest and the first ever mobile solution back in Salt Lake way back 2002, and that was an exciting moment in my career personally. But also, it was about motivating and inspiring, as they said at the Australian Olympic Committee that I used to work for, the inspiration of a nation, being able to mobilise, with the theme here, and make the public of Australia embrace and engage sport, and to have those heroes or role models, but also to get them off the couch, to move them off the sofa and participate in sport and enjoy more healthy lifestyles. And then over time, I took that passion and translated it into first a global advertising agency called Grey, which is one of the big network agencies of a company called WPP. And did that, and then I progressed from there into looking at on the software side, at how, particularly in the B2B space, but then more latterly in the B2C space, how technology can again enable and enrich people to communicate and engage. So there's a bit of a thread there, although it's a hodgepodge, an international career of, as I say, about 25 years now.
And communicate and engage. Let me grab onto the engage word and just a little plug, because one of the projects you and I have been working on is actually called Engage, another podcast. And it's a podcast where I've been hosting some of those, and moving forward, some other people will host. And these are conversations with experts and users of customer engagement software. And I'll put the link to that in the show notes, but there's the Engage podcast, which is available on at least Apple, Google, and Spotify. So let's do a little plug on that. And now I want to shift 180, I think. At least that's what I experienced when we were at an all-company event in a beautiful resort, beach resort last week in Egypt with the full Destiny Engage team. And you started talking to me about manufacturing. And I was like, wait a second. This is a marketing guy talking about lean manufacturing. And of course, lean and Six Sigma, lean thinking and removing the wastes from the voice of the customer. And that, of course, dovetails into what we now call Agile and Scrum. And they're all sort of related, but felt very far away from marketing. And I was delighted and curious when Ryan Wells was sharing with me a passion on lean manufacturing. So maybe share with us, in your words, what is lean manufacturing, and why should anyone care?
Well, I think that this, and perhaps more management of larger companies, there's a lot of talk about business transformation. But my real interest in lean manufacturing was developed from a guy in Washington State in the US. And he has a small manufacturing company that is very innovation driven. And he works with the DIY industry and with the manufacturing industry. And he came up with this concept called fix what bugs you. And that really resonated with me because, as executives and as business leaders, business owners, we're always talking about productivity and business transformation. And this really struck a chord with me. And the way that many people may be familiar with the Toyota production system, which is how the Toyota company completely revolutionized the way that vehicles are manufactured. And a lot of the teaching and the learnings that came from that time at Lexus and Toyota have then been applied in business to look to ways to not just transform a manufacturing environment, but also can be translated interestingly to the office and to the business environment. So this idea, one of the key principles of that, Chris, comes from the idea of continuous improvement. And as with me and my team at Destiny Engage, we're always looking at how we can iterate, how we can develop our product and evolve, dedicate ourselves to great customer service. How can we improve the way that we deliver our product? How can we improve the way that we deliver our service? How can we improve our people? How can we continuously and incrementally improve our service offering to bring more value? And as a marketer, I'm looking at ways that we can communicate value. And I guess as a byproduct of that, or perhaps more upstream, if we can demonstrate and create more value, selfishly for me as a marketer, it's an easier communication. If it's more simple and I can have the ability to continuously show an improvement in the value that we can bring to our community, to our ecosystem, to our company, to our product, to our people, and to our customers. And so I've taken that little crystal, that little nugget of information and the knowledge that I acquired over the years, watching some wonderful content, particularly on YouTube, about this concept, and thinking about how can we translate that and bring that, pull that thinking, if you like, and put it in a commercial context for business, and in my case, in marketing.
Just out of curiosity, who is this guy in Washington? Like, and are these
so
some
there's
of the
a
videos
company.
You showed me? Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a company called FastCap, FastCap. And the owner of FastCap, he's a great evangelist for this. His name is Paul Akers. And he has a website, paulakers.net. And I would encourage everyone to have a look at that website. He posts many, many hundreds of videos. And he has a book about, free to download, about lean manufacturing and the ability to influence the, not just affect the bottom line, but improve employee satisfaction and ultimately, you know, retain and grow customers as well by applying some of this thinking around 2 second lean and fix what bugs you. You know, and this learning over time, sorry, Chris.
And I've just looked it up, Paul Akers, and that's PaulAkers.net. And I'll put that link in the show notes as well. So great stuff.
Okay, so let me just share a quick little anecdote about the British cycling team. So there was a coach back in 2012, the London Olympics, and he cottoned on to the idea of this continuous improvement thought. And Dave Brailsford was his name. And he single-handedly transformed the British cycling team from a team that had, I think, won no medals or no gold medals for 100 years, and overnight, well, not overnight, but over an Olympiad, over a four-year period, they became the most successful team ever, and they completely transformed their performance and rocketed to the top of the medal table in the cycling. And he did that by this idea of applying these thoughts and these themes around continuous improvement. And it was he obsessed about incremental improvement. And there's another fellow called James Clear, who's a wonderful visionary on this. And I recall his book, Atomic Habits. And he made the point that if you can improve 1% a day over the course of a year, you 39x your improvement. And you know, as we sit here today, if anyone can imagine being 39 times better by improving just 1% a day, that is going to be, you know, that's exponential improvement. And that's a really powerful concept that really resonated with me. So applying it back to the marketing space, you know, we often as marketers think about, you know, iterating and looking at how we can evolve our message. It doesn't have to be perfect first time. And you spoke before about, you know, agile thinking and, you know, is good enough. And on the principle that, you can iterate. We are talking often about digital technology. That's okay. You can accept that that's okay, as long as you have the mechanism in place and the to be able to iterate and evolve and have that ambition and that desire to drive that incremental improvement. Because if you can have that as an operating model, you can really reach for the stars.
Yeah, you mentioned this with transformation, and this last week I was in a coaching conversation, and the concepts of operational excellence with continuous improvement versus innovation and transformation came up. And I made perhaps a naive statement of, isn't operational excellence in intention with continuous improvement? And the person I was coaching is like, no, those are the same thing. Because a lot of times I see as operational excellence as doing the same thing with religious discipline, which is almost against change. But then if you can also bring in the spirit of making micro changes, and honestly, I would recommend that for me, that is a more logical place where to start your change. So instead of keeping the status quo forever until it gets old and rattly and crystallized, and then try to make this step change, it's all and one of the quotes you said was fix what bugs you. Was that it?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Isn't that a perfect place? It's like what makes you itch in your existence? because that's probably where the tension is. And if you can, you know, do a little micro upgrade on that part, instead of a wholesale, you know, replacement of everything.
But the thing is, Chris, and I think just as you apply that to life, right? And this is one of the key learnings of this as a principle, is that you empower your team as well. It's not manager led or director led or CEO led. Mm. It's bottom up, that you empower everyone to fix what bugs them. And that's where you might think, well, you know, they might be doing lower value tasks or not as experienced, but actually they're at the coalface often doing very high touch activities or very mundane activities. And it's the same thing as, you know, if something is not working, maybe you don't, you know, don't blame the employee, blame the process. Like, the, look at the process. The process is broken. And then there's a lot of things, I think, as Western, you know, not just marketing, but as business people in the West, we can learn from the Japanese. Another concept they have is this idea of pokiyoki, which is, again, borrowed from the manufacturing space, which is they have, you can imagine in the context of building an item, that it can only be done one way. Like, you can't make, it's impossible to make a mistake, because it's like the jigsaw puzzle only fits into the jigsaw one way. So they build mistakes out of the system by optimizing it in a way, often led by the employees on the ground floor, because they have the hands-on experience, and you empower your people to help make the change. And that's often the only way that it's possible, because they know, because they're at the coalface. So you are moving from perhaps time to value. You're moving away from thinking, well, I pay them for 8 hours to fill 8 boxes or send 8 emails or whatever it is that they do, to think about, how can I optimize and make sure they're bringing the most value to my company in the period of time that they spend, and empower them. And, you know, and that, this applies as much to my area of marketing as it does into customer support, customer service. With our product Destiny Engage, we look at ways that we can empower the agents that use our tool to work more productively. You know, these are important aspects I think we can all consider.
Well, I think, Ryan, I think I need to call bullshit on you a little bit here.
Feel free.
Meaning the program we were running in the last month with Destiny Engage, and it's sort of like my last gift to the team in my formal role, was to basically get management out of the way and allow, quote unquote, the people, and management are people too, I know, but allow the humans in the organization to identify their little pains, which we called thorns. And, you know, so we did some roses and buds and thorns work. And then the whole process over that month, just lightly along the way, was to surface up, and ending up with an open space, just purely organic bottom up activity, where the brilliant people who knew the problem were able to elevate, co-create amongst themselves the solutions. And by the end of that, you know, accumulated in a 2-day all company workshop, basically the key pains had been solved by the people who, I don't want to say were complaining about them, but the where the pain was alive. But my feeling is you were a little hesitant, or I don't know. We're going into that. Did you have faith that we would solve so much in such a short period of time? It's always an emergent thing, so you never know really what's going to happen. But
yeah, you bet. I think it's a really interesting thing. We had a fabulous workshop where we, as you say, we surfaced up a whole lot of insights and some practical things where we could take action. I guess the differentiation would be, they were some big tectonic changes as a business that we will do to improve our offering and our internal, you know, satisfaction and happiness, and we all have aspirations to make it a, you know, better. I guess I'm thinking it from things we've just discussed today at a much more granular level. They are micro increments, whereas some of the things that we discussed in our session were more macro, larger projects over the space of weeks. Whereas what I've just been talking about are more, much, much more incremental over the space of minutes rather than hours. And I'll give you one last sporting analogy because I've used so many today, but I think again it's very powerful. Is in sport, often when you see an NFL coach or a football coach, and you hear them interviewed, and they say, "How do you win? Will you win the league? How do you win the league?" They won't go, "We'll do it by doing X, Y, Z." All they'll say is, "We just need to focus on winning the next game." Mm-hmm. Right? And I think that really resonates with me. And the idea there is, we just need to do the very best we can at what we need to do next. And we know what the pathway is for a football coach. They need to win every game. It's like, how do you eat an elephant one piece at a time? How do you win the competition? You win the competition one competition at a time. How do you win? How do you achieve 100 clients, 1,000 clients, 100,000 clients? One client at a time. And in this digital context, and to bring it back to marketing, contextualization and personalization is such a powerful thing. And if we think about that, again, mixing my metaphors here and talking about sport, there is a plan to play that team and win against that team. There is a plan to, there should be a plan on how to win that type of customer, right? And that comes through a plan, which is a personal plan in the right context, at the right time, in the right conditions to win that customer. And I think one of the great opportunities with technology now, and I know that this is a passion of yours as well, is this idea of really rich and powerful customer engagement by being able to deliver really rich personal experiences. And I'm a huge advocate for this contextualization piece as well. And I think that these things all do tie together, these incremental learnings that help you build a bigger picture of your customer, or a more relevant product, or happier, more informed employees that feel empowered to make decisions and deliver value.
Yeah, I like that. I like that you brought it even down to the minute by minute, because in one way, you could even say that the fact that we did a two-day all-company retrospective is a failure, meaning because we sort of understandably, because the company was being rebuilt, rebranded completely with your work, the product was being refactored, so there was such an amazing amount of hustle going on. But what I wish for teams is to break that down. I've never gotten to a minute by minute, but in Scrum, in the agile context, the reason you have retrospectives on a 2-weekly or whatever your sprint length is, it's in order to make those improvements. That's the point, to say, hey, what went well, what didn't go well, what is a micro fix we can make? And if you're doing a scaled thing, and every couple of months or whatever, if you do that in a collective, then your sort of annual get together to do this stuff is less, like you said, tectonic. It's less big chunky changes, because you've resolved so much of this, weekly by weekly, or even moment by moment.
Right. I think, yeah, it's distilling it down. So it's such part of the fabric and the DNA of the company that your retrospectives are really rolling up and looking retrospectively, obviously, at those successes, but they are it's the cumulative effect of those little small incremental changes and the people are empowered to make them. So you don't, to go back to the lean manufacturing example, what they often do, and Toyota speak of this, is when there's a defect. So in the context of a software company, when there's a bug, or when there's a ill-fitting bumper plate, they pull a string and the entire production line stops and they fix the problem, And so it's the notion of being empowered to make the decision to make the improvement on the spot, and then equally making it a habitual thing that you do all the time, every day, incrementally, rather than have to have a set every 3 months or something.
Yeah, we kicked this around last week as well, and the whole concept of shifting left and the concept of DevOps, where in traditional development cycles, a creator, a developer makes something, and then they throw it over the proverbial wall to the tester, who pulls their hair out, who then says whatever, and then they throw it over the wall, it gets released, and then the people who suffer, the customers or users and operations or support. And then everyone's pointing at operations and support for having buggy software. Like, wait, what? Like, no. Yes. And so how do you pull that ownership? How do the ability to fix that problem at root as opposed to letting it slide all the way down and then the massive amounts of rework, delay, frustration. How do you, for people who are listening who are probably like, okay, manufacturing, marketing, they're starting to see it come to, like, can you imagine one or two things that a marketing director could, in addition to listening to Paul Akers and going there and, you know, how could they practically bring this alive into their life and their team to start this incremental improvement?
You have to empower your employees, right? So you have to give them the space to do this. But also, I think importantly, they need to feel that they have the authority and the time to do this. So in this methodology, it's very common that people are given a certain amount of time per day, often 15, 20 minutes, and to standardize, to simplify, to sort, so they have clarity and structure, okay? And so I would look to do that, to eke out some time where it's a very intentional action, okay? I think another thing to do is important to share the progress, okay? So people feel that their contribution is valued and it also inspires others. I think you can do that on a very simple level if you have a Microsoft Teams, a WhatsApp, or some sort of IM channel. You should share that. I think that's very good because that will empower and inspire others. I think that you can bake in, I mean, a lot of people, particularly in this technology space, work in a very agile manner already, but to tie it back to even at the personal productivity level, a very practical example would be, you know, challenge your designer, for example. Are they using templates? Like, are they using, do they have preloaded the color swatch in Illustrator of their, you know, are these people working in an optimum way? And it's not to add burden, it's actually to make their life fun. And what I say to one of our team who works in the creative area, I say, you know, I don't want them, I want to remove the pain or the frustration of doing the mundane work. I want the creative people to spend more time being creative and having true value than the repetitive, mundane, unenjoyable tasks. You know, we don't employ designers to be button pushers and mouse pushers. We develop creative people. We want to develop their creative talent. We want them to share their knowledge and be creative. So how can we remove those things that bug them? All right. So I think that applies equally whether you are a copywriter who can have, for example, you may be frustrated that you don't get a good brief from your marketing director or from your product owner, right? How can those upstream processes be optimized so the person can add more direct value more immediately to the task they do and spend less time working on things that are, well, removing the ambiguity? That's a whole shift left philosophy you just spoke about, Chris. How can we re-engineer or re-architect our businesses so we can have the people bringing more value in the areas that they were employed to do and less time spent doing those less enjoyable or lower value tasks that they have to do?
Great. And in a micro way, like with the podcast process, I, you know, that this is also what I've been doing, is like, how do you streamline, automate, and do the most valuable, and focus on that, which is also the most fun, honestly. I sent it to you today. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but I had an audit done, second audit of the podcast, and the guy was kind, some nice things. And one of the things that he said and others have said before is how to give the more value up front, because if people have been listening to this, I start, I talk a little, probably too much about, you know, how we knew each other. And then I let you introduce yourself. And what people seem to be asking for is even before all that starts, what is the one or two points of the podcast so they can decide for themselves that they want to stay checked in instead of waiting three minutes to get into any meat. And then I was thinking about that, like, oh man, that's more work. I don't like work. You know, that makes me, but then I was like, hey, wait, I already record these little marketing blurbs at the end. What if I reframe my marketing blurb slightly so then it can be repurposed as a marketing blurb, you know, so people can see it on LinkedIn, and we can bolt that on the very front. And this is what I'm going to play with and experiment on this episode. So again, this is for me is like, how do you, and it's just a little micro change that could make a lot more valuable for the customer. I'm also thinking about the editor. You know, I don't want to create more work for him. Also, you know, the guest, you know, I don't want to create more work for the guest because that's confusing. And it's, yeah, and it's just consciously tweaking. And it's a fun game.
And I think, yeah, I did watch that and I thought that was wonderful insights that you got there. And I think that, but the thing, one of the other takeaways there is the chap who did it went systematically through and effectively gave you a checklist of actions you could take. And I think making things tangible, we all know in our lives, if we have a process that's codified, it's easy to measure, it's easier to refine, it's easier to analyze. And a lot of the things that we do habitually every day are very, perhaps they are habitual, we just do them instinctively. But if we ever actually take a moment to write it down and think about those steps, we may be able to, you know, outsource, automate, or optimize some of those steps. And you do that with your support network that you built around your podcast, and you have a process, and you can look at how you can deliver the high value things to your audience so they can bring value. And those more systematic things you can either automate or outsource. So you are fine tuning your delivery and trying to focus on bringing more value, which again, as a marketer, I am super impressed, and that's great. And just trying to fine tune. But you don't need to do, there's not a lot of things you need to improve, but there are small areas where you can make quite a significant improvement.
Yeah. And my decision making was because shifting it more, you know, more into a hard one way interview podcast into a bit more conversational. And then I'm moving a little away from more rational business design into more emotional, you know, leading from love. And I was curious, so what I was wrestling with was, do I need to actually stop this podcast and start another one and make this tectonic change? And what I came down to was like, no, I think I can just make some small changes and have a greater impact, perhaps, and sort of adapt maybe where the product of the podcast and my coaching and consulting work is going in a way which didn't require just a major root canal.
I think it's very provocative. I mean, some of the era I've loved some of your episodes that you put out recently. I think that it's very thought-provoking, and it's really great food for the soul. And hopefully everyone enjoys today's discussion around some of these business philosophies that I share and have as well. Yeah.
Well, speaking of food for the soul, one second, I'll be right back. I've been holding this here, and this is a message for your wife, in fact, because I don't think I've been able to express, but she has, I think, had you deliver this Taylor Swift fan book, which has been on my desk, and it's absolutely lovely. So if your wife is listening to this, what's her name, by the way?
Alina is my wife.
Alina, thank you so much. You knew exactly, you know, what to get a smile on my face, and I absolutely appreciate that. So Ryan Wells, a marketing director of Destiny Engage. You can find them at destinyengage.com, but it's spelled DSTNY Engage, ENGAGE.com. I'll put that in the show notes. There's also the Engage podcast that they're publishing. And I think it's, well, by the time this is published, you know, they could be halfway through this. They could be a couple episodes, more episodes out. And that's a lot of fun going into customer engagement, customer experience, enabled by technology and AI. Those are really on point conversations. And so I would really urge anyone to go check those out. And of course, you know, if you are listening to this and are interested in simplifying your business, then you can go to ebullient.com, which is my logo. And we have the simplicity toolkit you can download for free. And of course, you get on the mailing list to receive information about podcasts, not only this one, but also the Engage podcast. So Ryan, This has been lovely. Thank you so much for smashing, merging, you know, doing a smash up of manufacturing and marketing for us.
Been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you for listening. Visit ebullient.com to download the Simple Business Design Framework. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player.